So I guess I have to say something. Oh, I just did. Huh. And we're off to Germany with Louisa, who is not from Germany, very clearly. So, Louisa, why are you taking us to Germany?
Well, I am Australian, and I moved to the UK for a number of years, but my partner and I decided that we want a change of pace, and he got a job in Konstanz in Germany. And we moved to a little village called Litzelstetten, which is where I'm taking you today. It's just a stunning area to live, so I do not mind talking about it at all.
It looks very pretty on the street view, I have to say. It also looks quite tiny. This is proper sort of...
Yeah, this is southern Germany, so... In the picture is the Bodensee, and I think of it as a scuba diver with flippers, because that's what it looks like from the side. So at the bottom is Austria, and to the right-hand side is Switzerland. So the lake connects three countries.
All right. So very southern Germany then.
Yes. And part of the reason we left was because in this area, if you don't know German, it can be a challenge. So short term, it was amazing. We lived there for 3 years, but long term, it was, I just couldn't pick up the language well enough to feel comfortable there in the long term. So yeah, it was wonderful to live there, but a few challenges that I particularly had.
Yeah, that's definitely easier in the Netherlands, I think, to get by with limited Dutch and English as a...
Absolutely, yeah. And even just to go, because we had a shop next door to us, just to go there and order something, if I couldn't say it one day, I'd have to go home and practice the words and then go back the next day and then try to say what I needed, like from the deli counter or, you know, at the checkout. Because even the younger people that were there didn't speak much English, and they preferred to speak German than English. So, just even the accents, I don't have a lot of the glottal sounds, so when someone tried to understand what I was saying, even if I was speaking German, they were struggling.
Yeah, it's a very there's German and then there's German as well, right? Like,
yeah, oh, there's Hochdeutsch, yeah, and then people in Germany and Switzerland, even though they kind of speak the same language, they don't. So just to complicate it even more.
But, and yeah, because I worked language support at some point for Shell, and I was the Dutch language support, clearly. But there are not that many Dutch people who insist to speak Dutch when they call a help desk, right? Because they can manage in English for the most part. But the German lassie she was there for Austria, Switzerland, and Germany. That's a lot of people. It's a lot more people as well.
Yeah.
And a lot more people who didn't feel comfortable speaking English. So my German isn't great, but sometimes I would go like, okay, well, let's see if we can make this work. And then,
yeah.
But then you would have Swiss people on the phone and you're like, nah, this is not it, man. This is not German. I can't do it. Although the Swiss people generally understand that they sound weird, so they make an effort to make it more Germanesque, I guess. But
this is really remote. Like, if we had been in Munich, Munich's about two and a half, three hours from here. And if you can see on the water, there's actually a ferry that goes across, and it's what takes all the cars and buses from one side to the other, just past the island there. So that's called Insel Mainau. Mainau is like a garden island. It's a beautiful place to walk around. So I used to walk there a lot. And quite a few people actually walk right around the Bowdoin Sea. I think it's 270 kilometers or something. So Lützelstetten's got a sorry, Konstanz itself. So Lützelstetten's just outside of Konstanz, has a wonderful history. So a pope was selected there in the 1600s. And it was one of the few places in the area that wasn't bombed in the war, because you pretty much walk along the street and you go from Germany to Switzerland, and Switzerland would turn their lights on at night. And so Konstanz turned its lights on as well, because you couldn't work out where the border was. And so they've got all these beautiful old buildings in the area. But just further down in the water is a place called Friedrichshafen, and it was razed to the ground. It's where zeppelins are made, and they still fly zeppelins around this area. So every so often you'd look over and here's this beautiful zeppelin flying up over the water.
So
Stunning. It's a lot of history in the
nothing
area.
but random.
Yeah, it is. I was walking up the street one day and one flew over me. It was so weird and out of context.
What is the what? But the first time that happens, what happens in your mind? You're like, what is going on? Why is there a zeppelin flying overhead?
Yeah, I mean, in the area, you just get used to them. So you'll sort of see them off in the distance. Like, oh, there it is, you know, because they still have, I think it's a pilot school in Friedrichshafen for Zeppelins. And they do joy rides and things, but it's bizarre. And it was beautiful and lovely and different. And, you know, it was a place where you stopped, which confused me coming from the UK into Germany. In the south, you stop on Sundays. Everything shuts at midday on Saturdays, and you rest and walk and socialize. And that took a lot of getting used to.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean that's how, even in the Netherlands, how I grew up, right? And Sunday everything was shut. And I mean not so much the lunchtime. I know they do the lunchtime a lot in Germany as well, but at least on Sundays everything is shut. And then when I moved to Glasgow, you can just go to, like, supermarkets are open 24/7. Like literally 24/7. And it was and And that was weird, and I had to sort of adjust to that. But then I moved back and I was like, oh, I can't go get breakfast at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, we had a little chicken van that would pull up outside our house, because we're just off the main road. And on Mondays, all the takeaway places or anything that would do some sort of food would shut. And so, you know, the takeaway van was the one place you could get something a bit different in the week. And yeah, it was just such a different environment. Can I point out, so on the right-hand side of the city, there's a nice big forest.
That's it.
So you've got Mainau Island there, and then there's a forest in between the city and Lützelstetten. So in there is an old, what would I call it? Almost like a church, like something like that. It's a ruin. And they've got a beer pub in there. So we'd walk in the forest for like 3 or 4 kilometers into the middle of that forest there to go and have a beer. It was just bizarre.
Yeah, that's a solid idea.
It's wonderful, but just if you never knew it was there, you'd miss it. Like, it was, you can't drive in, so you have to walk in. And it just happened to be one of the paths that you could get from Lützelstetten towards Konstanz. It was about, I think, about 8 kilometer walk to get in. There's a fantastic sauna spa right on the point that you can look over onto Switzerland. So you're sitting in the sauna, looking out over the mountains. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, that sounds quite stunning. But how was this experience for you? Because you're saying, like, for the long term, the German, that was just not happening for me. But, you know, moving from Australia to the UK, obviously you still have English, although, you know, you have to get used to English in Scotland. And I mean that in the most loving way possible. The first couple of weeks I was there, I was like, I don't really know what's happening. And then you move to Germany, and suddenly you're in a place where you know, you're disconnected from the language. What was that like for you?
We had very good neighbors. Luckily, we were in a place where both of the neighbors conversed in English, and one of them had lived in, were they in the UK? America, I think they were in. And so we had contact with people. If we needed help, we had people that we could ask. And we actually formed a nice little English social group, which was formed by some Germans who like to speak English, some Swiss. We had another couple from Australia who we became really good friends with. So for us, we built up a community of people that we'd very important for us to find. My partner's work, they were all English speakers, and he got on really well with them. So he built up a nice group of people to socialize with too, as I did. So for both of us, we found connections through work and, trying to find people to connect with. And that was great. But then our friends started to move away. So we were at the position where the Australian friends were moving back to us. They moved to Munich, sorry. They were thinking about moving back to Australia, I think, at the time. And so we were like, well, Brexit happened, and we needed to make a decision on where we wanted to go, because we felt like my partner's job changed. So he was kind of going, I'm not really ready to stay here long term either. And it was like, well, if we stay in Germany, we've got a lot of other issues. I couldn't work there because the cost of running a business was so high, because everything had to be translated. And so, yeah, it was, I think we would have loved to have stayed there had some of these small conditions that we had been met. We would have been fine. But I think Brexit also forced our hand.
But then you ended up in the Netherlands.
Yes. And it was just another job. Like, my partner found another job, and it happened to be in Leiden, and not bad for where we've moved from, and now to glorious places. Yeah. And I mean, I grew up on a farm in Australia, so for me, it's just all something different. Like, I don't mind trying out new things, and I think if you move to another country, it can really open your eye to new experiences. And I think here we found calm and relaxation, which we didn't have in Edinburgh. I think there was a something that brought us something new and different, and we love that. So, for us, we're embracing that German lifestyle of, take it easy and spend time relaxing and resetting your batteries. And we get the best of both in the Netherlands now.
Yeah, it's a little bit of the halfway point, I suppose,
Yeah.
in more ways
Yeah.
than one.
Absolutely.
But I think as well, like you said, you grew up on a farm in Australia, and then you obviously moved to Edinburgh, which is definitely city life. Like these kind of changes as well. Like I don't know. Like when I moved to Denmark, I lived in the middle of nowhere in Denmark. Or at least to my experience, because I grew up just outside of Amsterdam, so I was used to having this big city right on my doorstep. Even though I didn't live in Amsterdam, I went to school there, so I was there a lot. And then I just moved to this little town in the Danish countryside, and even those kind of changes, I think. Aside from the culture and the language and all of those kind of things, I think just even that, even just those things will generate such a change in pace of life and of different considerations, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think if you sort of prepare to adapt for something like that, you can really enjoy it. You've got to find the bits that you can connect with the most and hold on to those. So in Denmark, my friends do live in sort of a rural area as well, and they'll often ride into town because the bike tracks are so good, and they love being outside doing that. So, for them, it doesn't feel too, rural, because they still find things that they love to do in that space. But yeah, it can be a shock for people. I mean, I went from the farm to Canberra, so it was a little bit bigger, but not too big. And then I moved to Melbourne, and again, it was a much bigger experience. And I didn't mind it, but I just got a little bit tired of all the time. It was just go, go, go all the time. And Edinburgh became that again. Like it's not as big as Melbourne, but it still has that 24-hour feeling that you were talking about. And so when you, I mean, we love Europe because people just say, well, hang on, you're entitled to stop. You're entitled to have a break, you know, relax, chill out for a little bit. It's fine. We don't mind, you know, and rejoin us when you're ready. Whereas in Edinburgh, it was like, right, Friday night drinks. And then you were like Saturday morning going, I really should go home.
No, but you're absolutely right. I think in the UK you can get a little bit, and Glasgow has some of that as well, where there's more of come out and be, you know, there's maybe there's more of an emphasis on having to be extroverted. And that's
Perhaps.
all.
Yeah. But your social circle revolves around pubs and alcohol. Like it felt like every weekend you had a plan to go out somewhere to drink. Whereas here it was you would go out to walk or something like that. Or let's go to this place and explore the town. It was wonderful.
Well, and also there's a lot of socializing that happens around coffee or tea, I think, which is great, which is my, hence the conversational cuppa, is my jam.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, it's, you know, you can learn history all you want, but you'll never, like, until you're in a place and you're living with the people, you know, who are part of those generations, like it's a very different way of experiencing history and how it actually affects the world.
You'd be amazed at how many Australians do not leave Australia. And I think stepping over to the UK was a step that I could take comfortably. Like it was a culture shock, but I didn't go from one extreme to another. And I think that helps if you do want to try this. Don't go too extreme if you're not really prepared for it. I think do something that kind of puts you midway. So you know, from sort of Germany to the Netherlands to the UK, the Netherlands is a great compromise between the two. You know, and I think there's places where yeah, go and stay there for what Andrew did, you know, stay there for 3 months, 7 months, and just get a little sense of what it's like to be somewhere else and just try it, throw yourself in there and see what happens.
Yeah, and make the mistakes. They become fun anecdotes, honestly.
Yes, they certainly do.
But I think too, what's cool and the very shared experience between the three of us is we've all traveled and been places, but we've all lived in a small community. And I think that's, Mags and I talk about this all the time. We're like, yes, submerge yourself, go somewhere. You can go into the city for a couple months, but I think you'll kind of still feel like that stranger. Yeah, you'll get to see some cool things and you might meet some good friends. But that was the thing for me, is like when I first got to The Hague, or I first got to visiting, like I just felt like a stranger, or just another number, right? Just I'm here, I'm hanging out. There's a lot of other internationals here. But when I got to a place like Deira, I felt like an outcast pretty quickly, but then it became comfortable. It's like, okay, people recognize me because I walk to Albert Einstein every day. Or there's, I don't know if I've told you this before, Mags. There was a older lady I helped out. Didn't speak a, I mean, she probably spoke English, but didn't choose to speak English that day. And I helped her get a couple cans off the shelf at Albert Einstein. And I just kind of told her, like, hey, how many? I mean, I could say one, two, three, you know, count the few numbers of how many she wanted. And I just kind of said, yeah, like, have a good day, you know. And I obviously wasn't Dutch and very much looked like a Southern California boy at the time, you know, with my college sweatshirt, you know, Boise State, and no one's gonna have a Boise State sweatshirt out there in the Netherlands. But and then the next day, like when I was at Albert Heijn again, she was there with like her younger daughter, and the daughter like came up to me and says, hey, like my mom can't fully say this to you, but she wants to say thank you for helping her yesterday with the cans. And I was just like, I feel like Batman or something. Like I feel like a hero, you know. I'm like, hey, I'm just some random guy, American boy living out here, but I was able to really help and be a part of the community by helping this older woman with some cans at Albert Einstein. So,
But
but
that's the
it made
thing.
me
It's,
feel
you know,
part of the
it
community and not just like, oh, he's the outcast guy that lives here.
100%, but it's often in the small things, right? It's like small gestures, small conversations. Yeah, I don't know. It creates, like, you were trying to not say a small life because you don't want to say like that it doesn't matter, but it's
not a bad word.
Yeah, exactly. But it's small in the sense of it's these small moments, and it's these, you know, these little interactions that you have with people that can be so impactful both for yourself and the people that you come across. And I think it's easier to do that in a small town because, like you said at the beginning, like, it's a slower pace. It's just a slower pace of life. And that makes it easier to have these sort of small interactions with people that are so impactful. So yeah, I totally get it. Hey, it's Mags. Thanks for joining us for a Conversational Cuppa, and we'll see you next time.